sure, other stations promise outstanding content, but when it's time to deliver, they fall flat on their ridiculous faces. Enter LA Talk Radio, a cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk station that delivers totally original content without any commercials. Log on to latalkradio.com and get involved with the best talk radio station on the internet. LA Talk Radio, we say what we want.
The morning show that's on your side. But then again, so is appendicitis.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Monday, March 10th. Good morning, Charlotte.
Good morning.
You got all your hair pulled back this morning. What happened?
I know. Well, I'm a little sunburned.
Yes, you are.
So I'm trying to keep everything off my face.
You're pretty red. I didn't want to ask anything. I thought maybe you had like a skin peel or something, you know.
No, I'm burnt.
Really? What, did you go to the beach or something?
Yeah,
or
I was in San Diego all weekend.
And oh, nice.
My back is fried.
Really?
It wasn't, like Saturday I was at the beach and it was warm, but I didn't really get to any color.
Mm-hmm.
And Sunday I was probably only there for like an hour and a half.
And really?
I got fried.
Really? No sun tan? I mean, no lotion or anything? Like,
well, no, I didn't
sunscreen?
Think I really needed any because Saturday I didn't get any color. And it was warm, so I was like, oh, I guess the sun's not that strong. But
yeah. No,
it was strong Sunday, I guess.
Really? Was it overcast too? Because San Diego often gets cloudy and stuff.
No, it was perfect.
It was perfect. So it's not like you thought you weren't going to get burned or anything.
No, I just didn't think the sun was that strong because it wasn't super warm.
Mm.
But it was beautiful weekend. Gorgeous.
Yeah, huh?
I've never been down there before.
Really?
No.
Oh, did you go to any of the attractions like SeaWorld or the zoo or something?
No, I was seeing friends.
Oh,
so
okay.
It was kind of what they wanted to do.
Okay, and they're tired of all these attractions.
Yeah. But I definitely want to go back and go to the zoo because I heard it's amazing.
Yeah, it is pretty cool. You know, I mean, I'm not into zoos, but it was nice when I went. Mm-hmm. SeaWorld is pretty nice too.
Yeah,
you know,
I love
so if you get a chance to see that, that's good. Yeah, you saw it back in Florida, right?
Yeah.
They always seem to have the better ones in Florida, don't you think?
No,
like
I
Disney
do.
World.
Yeah,
and
Disney's a lot better in Florida than it is here.
And Universal also, I think, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because it started here, but then, you know, they made them better in Florida. I don't get it. So I need to go over there and check them out.
Yeah, because it's only Disneyland here.
Right.
And it's Disney World in Florida.
Yeah, and its entire world, really. I've never been, but I'm dying to go, you know.
Oh, I love Disney.
Yeah?
Yeah, absolutely love it.
Actually, I guess my son went yesterday. I invited him to lunch. He's like, I'm at Disneyland. I'm like, oh, wow. That's pretty cool. Where did you get the $100 to get in?
Seriously.
I didn't ask him
so
that.
Expensive.
But yeah, it's like, I can't believe it's like $100 a person now.
I know, it's insane.
And so you take your family, that's $1,000 probably just for the, you know, for all the food and everything. $1,000 for a family for a day.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And it ruins it. Like, it never used to be that expensive.
I know. Who can afford that?
You know? Apparently a lot of people because
I know.
It's always slim.
I know. I'm wondering if people like save up for Disneyland and stuff.
I'm
you
sure
know?
They
and then
do.
They
yeah.
go. They come all the way here from other places and stuff. You
well,
know?
That's what I used to do when I was little. We would go on holiday to Florida and go to Disney.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. You were talking about... I wanted to ask you about the, I marked it and then I closed it here, the article. But did you have to take the SATs when you came here, the tests?
I did, yeah.
You did have to take them.
I didn't, that was the only thing I had to take to go to.
To college.
College
yeah, but that's pretty much what everybody else has to go through. And, you know, the funny thing is I somehow fell through the cracks. I came here when I was 16, so somehow... I don't know. I mean, I went to school for a couple of years to finish high school, and I never had to take the SATs.
Really?
I don't know what the hell that is, but I just went to college. I enrolled at UNLV. I was living in Vegas at the time, and I don't recall taking SATs. In fact, I'm sure I didn't take them. So I don't know why they felt they could let me through. So I never took them. I don't know what my score would have been or anything, you know?
I just remember it was... so long.
Really?
I'd never taken a test that was that long before.
Yeah. Did you prepare for it?
Yeah.
They have like all these books and courses to prepare for it.
But I didn't think I knew what, I didn't study that much for it, which was not a good idea. I mean, I still got into school, so it was okay. But I didn't prepare how I should have.
Yeah. I mean, it's not set up really like tests in school, you know. I mean, you're better off knowing how to take the test than to have any knowledge of anything, you know, because the way they conduct those tests, I know because I took the GMAT, which is for business school, and the questions are just so like, they're not like a knowledge, you know, it's not about knowledge. They don't ask you about science or things like that. It's more about how you handle the language, how you handle you know, things like that, you know, it's like math, for example, you know, so, and geometry and things like that, those are like important to them. But at any rate, so you can study to a certain point for the test, but I really don't think the information you got in high school is going to help you a hell of a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
No, I agree.
So, yeah, I mean, and and I took some books that taught you like the tricks and stuff, or not really tricks, but how to understand how the test goes. Like, for example, I don't know how it is on the SAT, but on the GMAT, if you get an answer wrong, they actually deduct from the score. So that discourages guessing.
I think that's how it, I don't remember.
Yeah.
I didn't know much about it when I took it.
Right.
I just knew I got a scholarship, but I needed to pass it.
Yeah. Huh?
That was all I really knew, and I still don't. I have no idea what I got.
Wow.
I have no clue.
But you got in, and that's the important thing. Yeah. Now, the scholarship you got when you were in England, right?
Yeah.
And it was a scholarship from the school in Florida?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? So you have to apply for it, though, right?
No.
Really? They find you?
Yeah, I was recruited.
Wow. How cool is that? I mean, that makes you feel like a star, you know? Here, these people are coming. They're offering me a scholarship and everything.
Yeah, it was at 2008 Olympic trials. And it's a weird recruiting system because the coach isn't allowed to directly speak to an international swimmer.
Oh.
So we had to go through my friend who already was at Florida State and...
And like, then they could talk through them.
Yeah. Well, and then if I made the first move, then he could talk to me, but he wasn't able to make the first move and recruit me.
Oh, I see. Okay.
So it was like weird because I was going to see this coach that I knew was in Florida, but I didn't really know anything about it or what he wanted. And he just wanted to know my time. And obviously he'd watched me race at Olympic trials.
Mm.
And he just offered me the scholarship on the spot. And I was like, whoa, that wasn't what I was expecting.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty cool. So, I was wondering, how long had you been swimming before, let's say, you did the tryout for the Olympics?
I did the 2004 and 2008 Olympic trials.
Oh, really?
I've been swimming since I was, competitively, since I was 12.
Oh, wow.
But I've been swimming since I was about 8 or 9.
Really?
Yeah.
How cool.
But I started excelling when I was 12.
Wow. And did you like it or did you feel that people were pushing you into it?
No, not at all.
You liked it.
I was the one that strangely wanted to do it. Yeah. My mom was in the mornings. I would have to wake her up and be like, can you take me to practice? And she's like, oh, go back to bed.
So how many people compete for the Olympics or at least when you did, like, let's say for the swimming?
I mean, it's different because you have certain times you have to achieve per age group. So like when I was 12, how old was I in 2004? I don't even know. It's like 10 years ago. Uh-huh. So I was 13.
Okay.
13, 14. I went to Olympic trials, but obviously I wasn't good enough to be competing to go.
Right.
But they have different, I think it's like 12 to 16, there's a certain time if you get and you're that age, you can go to the Olympic trials.
I see. Okay.
Whereas then after 17, it's like an open time bracket.
I see.
And
anybody can apply and try out?
Yeah. Like just meets during the year. If you get the time, you can go.
Wow.
Yeah. But not the fast times.
Yeah.
So not everyone can go.
Right.
But yeah.
And what was your fastest swimming style?
In England, I was recruited for backstroke.
Mm.
I did the 100 and 200 meter backstroke.
Right.
And then when I came to America, I did backstroke in a couple meets, and it was different because I was going from swimming 25 meters to 25 yards.
Right.
And things like the flags, because you count your strokes into the wall so you know when to turn.
Oh.
When you're on your back.
Right.
But the flags are now 5 yards and not 5 meters. Okay. So everything was different, and it was weird. So I wasn't swimming very well. And I'd always been decent at distance freestyle. And my coach was like, we're just going to throw you in the mile and see how you do.
Wow.
And unfortunately, I did really well.
Really?
So,
that's
so then
a long
I was
swim.
Stuck doing distance freestyle.
Wow.
For, yeah.
So wow, then, you need a lot of endurance for that, huh?
Yeah. But I had the best coach, I think, in America.
Really?
He's amazing.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what? He teaches you like all the techniques and everything?
Yeah,
and
not
pushes
just the
you, right?
But just the way he... The practices that he writes and his attitude and ideas for everything.
Right.
Like the weight room, cardio, like abs and stuff. Just his whole, the whole package of the way that he trains his swimmers.
Mm.
And I was in a group of 12 people. So we got one-on-one attention every day.
Wow.
So it was incredible.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, L.A. gained a lot from you moving here, and you left you swimming behind, right?
It did.
You don't even swim, like, for fun and stuff like that?
No, and I was... Mm. It's funny, because in San Diego, I went to see one of my training partners who I swam with in Florida. She works for the Boston Beer Company in San Diego. And I was hanging out with her, and she's like, I did a master's practice this week.
Uh-huh.
She's like, I love it. And we were both, by the end of our swimming careers, like, oh... So done waking up this early. Like, this is awful.
Yeah.
But she loves it now. Just getting up twice a week, three times a week, to do a master's practice and just get the day started off well.
Mm.
And I was just like, I just don't think I can do that. I really don't.
Yeah. It's okay. You change your lifestyle.
Yeah. And just the idea of having to, like, get in a pool, then go home and rush to get ready and... Mm. I don't,
not for you. It's just, you no, left it behind
it
you.
It doesn't appeal. When it's summer, well, I guess I could now, but at like 2 p.m., when it's nice and sunny, I will go swim so that I can get a tan.
Mm.
There's a pool right around the corner.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But when it's not sunny and I can't get a tan,
yeah,
no.
No.
No. I would rather lay by the pool.
Yeah. Cool. My weekend was... It was okay. Yeah, I didn't do much. I met with a couple of people and stuff, but that was it. A lot of eating out, though. And, you know, a good place I can recommend is Gaucho Grill. I don't know if you've ever been there. It's an Argentinian steakhouse. And I'd never been. So, and I've always heard great things about it. So we went there. I'm telling you, one of the best steaks I've ever had, you know.
Really?
And it's not that expensive, you know. I mean, some steakhouses are really expensive.
Yeah.
It's not. You know, it's not expensive at all. Probably the best steak, you know. And I go to steak places sometimes, like the Outback, you know. And
I like Outback.
Yeah, Outback is cool, but their steaks are not that great. So I take other things there. But they never cooked the steak right. I don't know what the hell's wrong with them.
That is true.
Yeah.
I can think of three times with my mom when she sent the steak back.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, I think they overcook it. It doesn't matter how you tell them to. And but they have good ribs, and they have good chicken on the Barbie and shrimp on the Barbie and that stuff. But if anybody can go to Gaucho Grill, I strongly recommend it. Here in L.A., they have one in Woodland Hills and another one in Brentwood. So so that's my recommendation. And, so I ate out a couple times. And
I always do so well during the week with eating, and then at the weekend, I eat out so much.
Really?
I feel like I gained like 5 pounds this weekend.
Really? It's just fun to go out and eat, you know? I mean, there's so many places here to go.
Yeah, that really is.
Yeah. Wow. So, is your sun tan like burning? I mean, can you feel it?
My back is.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, my back.
And you fair skin too, you know? You got to be careful.
I know.
Every time you go in the sun, even if you're not laying out or anything. But in the summer, yeah, I mean, the summers here are brutal as far as the sun, you know? Yesterday was very hot.
It was hot up here,
right?
Too?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, was it hot in San Diego? Because it never gets that hot.
It wasn't like burning, but it was nice.
Right. Yeah. It's more like Santa Monica and stuff because it's on the beach, you know.
Totally.
So do you go to, did you go to Mission Bay? You know, like
I stayed in Pacific Beach.
Pacific Beach. Okay. that's pretty cool there.
Yeah.
Mission Bay is an area in San Diego where, you know, it's like around the water and everything. There's parks, there's bike paths, there's, where SeaWorld is. So I always like going there and just it's peaceful and stuff. Mm-hmm. You know?
It was so nice down there. And
yeah.
My friend is so active.
Really?
Her boyfriend is a surf teacher. He teaches surfing. And her brother was there visiting and they were just doing all these like crazy activities.
Really?
I was just like,
some people can't sit still, like, huh?
Do you not just want to just hang out on the beach? Like, it's like constantly like...
I know, on the move, you know. It's like you're wondering, what are you running away from? Right? You know, stop and relax for a while.
Like, let's go have a beer. Let's just chill.
Yeah. They also had the LA Marathon yesterday.
Yeah, I knew a couple people racing in that.
Now, that's another crazy thing to do.
You know,
run like, what, 27 miles or something?
Yeah, like a lot of my 22? Friends are doing half marathons.
Yeah, half marathons. Like, what, 16, 18 mm-hmm. miles or something? Or, no, it's 7 miles. No, I don't know what it is. It doesn't matter. But it's in the teens for sure to do half.
Mm-hmm.
And I just have no idea how people do it or why they do it.
Running outside hurts my throat.
Really?
So I just hate running outside. But then, like, 26 miles, it's just so long.
That's long. That's very long, you know. And yesterday was a warm day also, so I felt bad for them. But I guess people look forward to it. You know, some people just love it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't get it, and most of us don't. But you have to admire these people that can run so far, you know.
Definitely. And
for so long.
And the Boston Marathon is coming up, too, because that... They were saying that the security is really intense this year and you're not allowed inside if you have a backpack or...
Really?
Because of the bombings last year.
Right.
So...
Yeah, but what's the likelihood that it's going to happen again in the same place, you know? I mean, it's always like we get wiser after the fact, you know?
True.
Yeah, but they have to do it. I mean, people look to them to, you know, to do something like that.
Yeah,
so
definitely.
They did, yeah. And... yeah, but over the weekend, the biggest news is that airplane disappeared.
Oh, my gosh, I saw this.
Yeah. I mean, this is unusual because, you know, I mean, usually a plane will crash on takeoff or on landing. That's usually the most dangerous times for an airplane to fail. But they're saying that this was like flying at the safest point in the flight. Okay, it was just not taking off. It wasn't, you know, just, and then it just disappears off the radar and they can't find it, you know. Now just think where they have to look. I mean, it's like a huge ocean, you know. You don't know where to start, where to end, you know. You have to guess. And
so they think that it's crashed?
Well, yeah. I mean, where else would it be, you know? I mean, it, obviously something happened to it. They just don't know how and where it fell. But the thing is that, yeah, I mean, they already assume everybody's dead and everything. They notify the next of kin. But the mystery is, I guess there were two passengers on the plane that used stolen passports. So they don't know if this had anything to do with it. But, you know, it could have been terrorism. It could have been a lot of different things.
Oh, dear,
plane just doesn't, you know, drop out of the sky like that.
And the fact that it's not on the radar anywhere, that's just strange in itself.
I know. Yeah. So something must have happened there, you know, to, you know, and it's real mystery because this stuff doesn't happen.
No.
But, you know, this is like one of my biggest fears on a plane, you know. It's just like to be over the ocean and just drop, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And... I mean, think about it. Like, what a cruel death that is, because you know you're going to die.
Yeah.
You know you're going to die. I mean, it's like the fear, you know, but then I guess it's over, you know, and you don't feel it anymore. But what a way to end your life, you know.
No, definitely. It says 227 passengers and 12 crew members.
Wow.
And 7 a.m. to 7 p.m., planes threw over the vast waters and ships searched through the night. Gosh, that's crazy.
I know. And, so go figure what happened, you know, but I'm really intrigued by this now because I'm wondering if these guys had anything to do with it, you know, with the stolen passports and stuff. So, but you can't assume until it happens. So
it sucks though that two people did have stolen passports because even if they are innocent, they automatically appear to be guilty.
Right, exactly.
Because of that.
Yeah.
The negative connotation on
stealing
a passport. But how do you steal a passport and then get on a plane when it's not you?
Well, I don't know. They just let you... Well, you know, but I mean, if the ticket is under the same name...
But the picture doesn't match?
Oh, maybe the picture matches. I don't know. Oh, I see what you mean, because it was stolen, if not was, really forged.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, how does that work?
I have no idea.
Like, this is where the security system, like, puzzles me. Like, how do you really get on a plane with a stolen passport?
Yeah.
Like, how? Like, how does that happen?
Yeah, good question.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, really? And then every time I'm there, they stare at me.
Yeah.
For, like, a minute.
Yeah.
It's like a grueling look, like, is this you? Like,
right.
And I'm like, yes, it's me. Like, just let me go through. But then they let people with a, like, what?
Yeah.
How? And how did they figure out that it was a, they had stolen passports?
I have no idea. That I don't know.
It's like, it's, you part know, of like, the so many questions. Just, like, how? Like, how?
Yeah. I don't know. Maybe the passports were reported stolen, and then, you know, they cross-referenced the names or something.
Maybe.
I have no idea. Yeah. So that's crashing with a plane. Have you been following the Oscar Pistorius murder trial in South Africa?
Yes, I have. I had this up on my computer.
Yeah. So this man, he was called Blade Runner because he was in the Olympics. Mm-hmm. He's... he doesn't have legs, so that he's got like, what do they call him?
An amputee.
Yeah, he's an amputee, so he's got those
prosthetics.
Thank you. That's the word I was looking for. And so he's become very famous, and soon after that, after the Olympics, he shot his girlfriend dead. So there's no question that he did the shooting. The question is, did he murder her, you know, or was it just by mistake? So so that's what the trial is around.
They're a beautiful couple.
Yeah.
They're very beautiful.
You know, and it's unfortunate, you know, but he's trying to sell the story that he thought she was a burglar or something. And he shot through the door, you know, so he didn't really see her, but... At the same time, I don't know. Maybe someone else would have reacted differently. I don't know. But there's no evidence of a break-in, of a you know, a robber or a thief or anything. But it is known that they've had some problems, so they brought some past girlfriends that testify about his temper and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But what happened, I guess, over the weekend is he actually got sick during the trial. You know, they did the autopsy details and things like that. And he started crying and getting sick, so they had to stop the trial until he recovered. But, I mean, can you imagine sitting in the courtroom and vomiting? God, no. When you're accused of murder.
I don't know about this case. I mean, I feel like, I don't know if he did it on purpose. I don't think, I don't really think he did. And I read an article where it said, like, he was at the shooting range shooting watermelons, like, days prior. And it's like, so?
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people go to the shooting range. Like,
right.
Is that really something to hold against him, that he was shooting watermelons at the, you know? Like, right. I don't know if that's substantial evidence.
Right.
And the fact that he was throwing up in the courtroom probably does really well for him.
Yeah.
It's probably going to work in his favor.
You think it's going to work?
Yeah, I think that'll work in his favor.
Right. But the question is, you know, usually you ask yourself, what would a reasonable person do? And the thing is this, remember, he lived with her. So when, even if you're hearing something and you're pulling out your gun, don't you want to make sure it's not her first?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And if you hear a noise from the bathroom, it's likely to be her more than it is to be a burglar. And so that's why it's hard to swallow this version.
No, that's true also. And yeah, you would make sure that it wasn't her.
Yeah.
Like, you live with her and she's not home in bed with you, like, or right. wherever they are.
Exactly, you know? But then again, you know, maybe you're in fear and you feel, you know, somebody did break into your house and all this stuff, but maybe his hand was just too fast on the trigger and, you know, and he shot her, you know. So I guess now they really have to figure out what kind of a relationship they had.
They had, yeah.
You know? And you know, I mean, there was a witness that said she heard screaming and stuff from the house. So I don't know.
See, if that's the case and she was screaming, then he knew it was her.
Yeah.
So I guess it's...
Yeah.
There's a lot of different yeah. elements to the story.
Right. And she, if she was screaming, they were probably fighting. He was probably not asleep.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and wasn't afraid of an intruder. So, I don't know. I feel bad for him. He seems like a nice guy and everything. But you never know about people.
No.
You know, you don't know what happens behind closed doors. And it's very sad, you know. I mean, she was beautiful. And, you know, they say she was a very cool person, very nice. So, it's tough, you know. And especially, I mean, he, you know, that's what you don't understand sometimes. I mean, if he did murder her, is... you know, I mean, the successful people, you know, they achieve so much in their lives and then they just like screw it up, you know,
yeah.
in a second.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't understand that, you know, the same with like people that are caught in affairs and all that stuff. You know, I mean, you build up your career as a politician or something, you know, especially if you're conservative and that, and suddenly they hear, you know, that you were in a sex scandal or something, you know, yeah. and you ruin your life. Or like tweeting your pictures, like what's his name, Wiener, right. Anthony Wiener did.
I feel like when you have a certain power, they never feel like they have enough.
Mm.
They always want more
right.
and more and try and push the boundaries to get as much as they can.
Yeah.
And I think that's where that becomes a problem.
That's true. And I think also you feel like you're invincible. You know,
yeah.
when you're like a politician and you have a lot of influence and stuff, you probably think, I can do anything I want.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
definitely.
Nothing's going to stop me. And then they do the stupid stuff, you know,
mm-hmm.
because men are like that. They do stupid things over sex.
No,
you know?
Definitely. I agree with you.
Oh, man. So let's see. In other news, do you have anything there?
Yeah, there's a new campaign called Ban Bossy.
Okay.
And it's a girl empowerment campaign. It's run by the CEO of Girl Scouts. So, you know, like the Girl Scout cookies. And,
right.
I associate Girl Scouts right away with the Girl Scout cookies because they're that good.
So does everybody.
But and leanin.org. So the CEO of both of them have teamed up in a partnership with Lifetime TV,
mm-hmm.
which features Beyonce, Jane Lynch from Glee.
Glee, right.
Yeah. yeah. Rachel, Jennifer Gardner, and a bunch of other people to, yeah, start this campaign.
Mm-hmm.
It's to empower girls and encourage them that this word bossy
mm-hmm.
should just be banned because everyone sees it as a negative impact
right.
that, oh, that girl's bossy. Like she's too bossy. And whereas it should be, I mean, Beyonce says at the end of the video, the end of the campaign, I'm not bossy. I am the boss.
I see. Okay.
So it's like for girls to kind of stand tall and forget everyone else that,
yeah,
I may be bossy. Who cares? Like, I'm the boss. Like, it's
right.
my life. I'm going to do what I want to do.
I see. Okay. And so it's more like about how we view these bosses.
Yeah. 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 It's about how you view the word bossy in a negative right. way when it really shouldn't be.
I see. And, are they saying it's used more against women than men?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I've heard that so much. Like, you're so bossy, Charlotte.
Yeah.
No, I'm not. Like, I'm not. But, but yeah, so
you
they
just
want
like
to
things your way,
word,
right?
Right?
Yeah. Wow.
But yeah, they want to ban this word. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, one of the quotes says, "So the next time you have the urge to call your little girl bossy, take a deep breath and praise her leadership skills instead."
Yeah. Wow, they have actually a lot of women here on this website,
mm-hmm.
leanin.org. And when you said Lean In, I was thinking of the book by Sheryl Sandberg from Facebook.
That's who it is.
Right. And that's apparently who it is. She's the founder and the board chair. And so she wrote a book about women at the workplace and stuff. And so I guess they made it like a whole thing now, you know, to focus on women in business. And that's, wow, there's a lot of people here, a lot of known people, too. I mean, even Condoleezza Rice, I see, is here. So join us to ban Bossy. Okay, I mean, I can go with that. You know,
I think it's a great way to not have a negative connotation on girls being like, standing up and position. Doing what they want to do and going forward and moving forward in this world. Like, females have a very strong demeanor and persona now and in the way of living. And I just think that this is another great thing to add to what the females can do in life.
That's true, So it's actually, I guess, to maybe fight sexism and stuff, you know, because it's not done with men. Although they say men are bossy too, but you're right. It's probably not as negative a connotation as when you say to a woman or about a woman.
No, definitely.
Wow. Yeah, let's work together to change the world. I'm all for that. You know, I think women can make really good bosses. And they make good politicians too. Maybe if all women were politicians or all politicians were women, we wouldn't have wars and stuff like that, you know.
Definitely. I think the more people that join in with, because a lot of people are going to be like, oh, that's so stupid. And but the more people just realize that sexism, it's really big. And especially as little kids, it's like, don't tell your kid that they're being bossy or like, don't put all these negative things in their mind that gives people complexes. And
that's true. Right. Yeah. Yeah. You got to stay away from that.
Yeah.
Wow. So Lindsay Lohan has a new reality show. And I know it's on Oprah Winfrey's own station. And yeah, it's called OWN, O-W-N. And yeah, so it's going to be on there. I didn't realize that Lindsay is already 27 years old. But she's been around for a while. We just got used to seeing her.
Well, yeah, and since
young.
she was in Parent Trap when she was real young.
Right.
Love that movie.
Yeah, I know. It was cute, huh?
Yeah.
Like moving to England and all that stuff. Yeah, that was funny. And so I guess, you know, the camera's going to follow her. It's like a docuseries, I guess they call it. And so, yeah, and she tries to piece together her personal and professional life and, you know, and all that. So it might be interesting. You know, it's like watching a train wreck, maybe improving her life a little bit other than just getting in trouble all the time.
Well, I did see one clip from something with Oprah and Lindsay, and Oprah was like, are you going to change or is this just a waste of my time? Not exact quote,
really?
But it was something along those lines.
Wow.
Yeah, and I think Oprah's just trying to... I think she sees that Lindsay's a special person. Like, she has a special gift. She's a great actress.
Right.
But she's just got lost.
Yeah.
Really lost.
That's true. And the media is totally preoccupied with her, you know? I don't know what it is. Maybe just because she has a fascinating life in that way. Just like Britney Spears, when she had her years of screwing up and stuff. We love to watch it, I guess.
I find it, like, they just... They constantly... like prey on the negative ass, and obviously that's what the paparazzi do. But
yeah.
I don't know. I found it sad. I was watching Keeping Up with the Kardashians last night. I don't really watch it that much, but I was. And Khloe Kardashian is going through such a hard time, like divorcing Lamar Odom, because they had a lot of problems with, like, obviously he was doing drugs, and there was just a lot to it. But she was saying, she was like, I'm scared of the paparazzi. Like, I'm scared to go out. Like, I don't want to be in this limelight in this way.
Yeah. But well, they invited that.
Definitely.
No, she doesn't want it. Yeah.
But then there's an article today where she just looks phenomenal.
Really? Khloe does.
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely amazing.
Wow.
And they're saying, I bet Lamar is crying in his beer right now.
Yeah.
But she just looks great now. But
wow.
It's sad. Miley, too.
Yeah. Yeah. Miley and Justin Bieber and that, you know, I mean, they're just getting into all kinds of troubles. I think, I mean, they're acting out, you know, and...
But I think also they're realizing to stay relevant, they need to be...
In the news?
In the news.
Really? You think that's why they're doing that?
Totally.
Oh, wow.
I think Miley was all a set. I think the whole shebang of what she's been doing recently is all calculated. She knows exactly what it's working.
Yeah,
it's working.
Like, it is
she's
working
all over all the news outlets.
Yeah,
she's getting so much publicity.
But she doesn't really screw up. I mean, she's just like
no. But she's just taken like a different turn. She's not Hannah Montana anymore.
Right. Exactly. You know. And I mean, she does like racy things and stuff. But mm-hmm. she doesn't really. She hasn't really gotten into trouble.
No.
Yeah. So I don't think she's acting out, but. Justin Bieber, definitely. Lindsay Lohan, you know, it's just, I think, a result of being a child actor.
Yeah.
You know.
They don't know how to deal with.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you're just.
Hollywood.
Yeah. I mean.
It's a crazy place.
Does anybody, you know, what I'm saying? I mean, when you have so stardom, like, thrown at you like that, you know, where suddenly you're like a household name, yeah, and money. And attention, you know, and you think that you can't do any wrong. You know,
no,
again,
definitely.
The same thing as I mentioned with the politicians, you know, you feel powerful and you don't think you can do any wrong.
No, completely.
Like maybe you're above the law, above everybody else, mm-hmm. you know, and.
No, definitely. And it's sad. I mean.
Yeah.
Justin Bieber.
Yeah.
Who knows what's wrong with him?
I know. But check out this headline. Justin Bieber jail video to be released with his private parts blurred. What the hell is that? Why would anybody take a video of him naked in prison? I mean, what the hell is going on there?
So he's in prison now?
No, I think, well, he was in jail, but probably when he was arrested that day.
Yeah.
Right. But who would take a video of him with his private parts? I mean...
Who knows?
Yeah, you know. I mean, why would they even allow that?
I don't know. Who wants to see that?
I know. Well, I'm sure some girls would love
to. True. His model girlfriend in Miami.
Yeah. Yeah.
Do you watch The Bachelor at all?
No. It's such a corny show.
It
I can't watch
and
it.
And I really don't like it that much. And I barely watched any of the season, but they're saying that Juan Pablo... who's the bachelor this year, is the worst bachelor ever.
Really?
Yeah.
In what way?
They're saying the producers are over him.
Mm-hmm.
He's apparently a nightmare behind the scenes.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. So. There's another guy who lets it go to his head, you know? I mean, you know, you would expect that, you know, when a guy is like being lured by how many, 10? Ten women?
I don't... More to start with.
Beautiful.
I just don't get it. Like, these girls become so attached.
Mm.
And
yeah, to someone they don't even know.
To someone they don't know. And it's they spend something like 40 hours with him, max.
If you get
to the very end. If you get to the very end with him.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't even 40. It's not. That's way too much.
Yeah.
Maybe it was like 12.
Okay.
If you get to the very end, that's how much alone time, like you and him, that you spent with him. How can you love somebody in 12 hours or whatever it is? Like, that's just, I don't get it. And these girls are crying, like, I want to be with him, like, he's the one. It's like, you don't know that.
Yeah.
Like, this is a competition, basically. Like, you're competing for his love and...
Right. For his attention, if nothing else, you know. And, I mean, it's a dream role for any guy, I'm sure. But, you know, but I mean, it would turn me off towards women to see them like this.
Right.
You know, I mean, it's just like you want a strong woman, you know, an independent woman who can stand on her own. And these women behave like, you know, like they can't survive without a guy, you know. And maybe they're just dying to win the show. You know, do they get money if they win, the women?
That's a good question.
Or do they just get the guy?
I'm guessing they do.
You just get the prize.
But maybe it's just, I don't know, maybe it's just Juan Pablo, whoever wins this year.
Yeah.
But most of them, I think two of them have lasted. I don't know.
Mm.
It's a small, very small proportion of how many seasons they've been that have actually, and if they have got married, they've got divorced.
Yeah. I know. I don't think anybody stayed together from these shows, right?
No.
Yeah. Because that's not a basis for a loving relationship, you know? Loving relationships happen in different ways. You have to know the person.
When
you know?
Least expect it.
Yeah, exactly. You know? It's just thrust at you.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. There's a few things here. There's this. I guess they made like a whole big deal about this Duke University student who was outed as a porn star. And, her boyfriend, I guess, her ex-boyfriend, outed her. So so she started, you know, but my question is, why is this such a big deal? Do you know how many college women do this?
Yeah.
A lot. A lot. People don't understand this, but when you're in college and stuff, you don't have any money, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, it depends who it is, of course, but I mean, I admire people that go to school and get a job, you know, so they don't have to rely on other people.
Yeah.
But many people that go to university look for easy income, and porn is definitely an easy way to make some money, you know? So if anybody thinks that this is unusual, I'm here to tell you it's not. I'll bet you a lot of the porn stars out there are doing it to get through college. Although many of them, you know, they'll tell you different things, you know. Often they won't admit it's the money.
Yeah.
They'll tell you they like sex a lot and it's freeing to them and everything. Like this one. She says, my porn career is freeing, you know. Now, I don't know how that is, but, you know, they must have a certain type of thinking. I don't know. But, I mean, once you do that, it's like, your whole life is affected by it.
Yeah.
You know, it's like it's a one-way exit. You know, you can't come back once you do that. That would be like a very scary ordeal for me to make such a big decision that's going to affect my life in such a way. Yeah.
Life.
In such a profound way. Because then when you have kids, when your family finds out, when your bosses find out, anything. Because nobody can stay a porn star forever. You know, very few do. You know, they move on to be like a MILF or something, you know, and find their niche. Yeah, but for the most part, they just, you know, they disappear or they move on to other things. And then you hear that they're having problems getting normal jobs when people find out.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I mean, I don't judge. I try not to judge people, you know. And if someone feels that this is what they want to do, that's fine. But all I'm saying is think about it, you know, because society just doesn't condone these things, you know, and people don't accept it, that it's a normal profession to be in. And it's not, you know, I mean, it gets in the way. From what I understand, they can't really have normal relationships with what they call civilians, people that are not in the industry. So you're stuck with someone that's in the industry and maybe there's not a lot to choose from. I don't know. And so, but that's pretty much the way it is. You know, they stick together and, you know, but I can't understand how someone can make a decision like that and be okay with it.
Yeah, it affects the rest of your life.
It really does, you know. I mean, and everybody sees you in the most, like, vulnerable positions and stuff. It's like, why? Mm-hmm. You know, why? There's other ways to make money. You know, find a sugar daddy or something, you know.
Yeah.
Or something, you know. You don't have to show the whole world what you have. But also, from what I understand, is some girls just, I guess, like the attention. Think about it. They get to become stars, like movie stars, without working that hard.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, they call their work hard, and maybe they do work hard. You know, it's not easy being in front of people and performing and doing all these things. So maybe they do work hard, but at the same time, you know, it's not the same. It's not the same.
No.
You know.
No, it's.
And so, yeah, I mean, work at something, and especially when you go to college. I mean, you go to college to plan a career, so why would you, you know, ruin your chances for a career by doing that, you know?
No, I agree with you.
So I guess some of them just want the attention that a star gets and, you know, and they get it, you know, but why would I want attention like that? I don't know.
Yeah, it's not the right kind of attention.
No, definitely not, you know. Now, another thing that, captured my attention here is, I guess there's a video that went viral about a fat girl dancing. And, you know, so I watched it and stuff. And look, she can dance, okay? But it doesn't look good. It really doesn't look good. I mean, I understand, you know, wanting to feel like a normal woman who works out, who is active, who can look just as sexy. But you know what? It doesn't look sexy. It really doesn't, because, you know, all her fat is like, you know, all over the place and jerking and that. And, you know, come on, you know, people don't want to watch that. And then there was another one like that I saw of this overweight woman who was doing the pole dancing. And she's climbing on the pole and you go, oh, man, come on, you know. I mean, it's not meant for overweight women to do. You know, and if you do, I'm saying you should be able to do whatever you want, but don't show it to the world. You know, you're making a fool out of yourself. You know, like these people that go on America's Got Talent and stuff, you know, and do all these crazy things, and they're just making fools of themselves, you know.
Yeah, America's Talent is about to come back on, and I like, really? I like the first stages.
Yeah.
Because it is people making fools of themselves. It's like American Idol and X Factor, all those. Yeah. I like the first rounds because it's people that think they're really, really good.
That's the initial auditions, right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I never saw that. I mean, I know, but in American Idol, that was my favorite part also. Yeah.
It's the best.
Because it was so real, you know?
Yeah. I mean, just and these people are genuinely hurt.
Yeah.
Because they think they're so good and Simon Cowell just kills everything that they have. And it's like, I was kind of sad to see that X Factor got axed.
Yeah. Did you watch it?
Yeah, I mean, every now and again. I wasn't religiously.
Yeah.
I didn't religiously watch every episode, but I don't know. Like, I thought it was a good. It's like a family program.
It is. Huh? They allow people that are older and stuff to sing on there too, right?
Yeah,
not like American Idol.
I see it as like on Saturday. Like at home, it was played on Saturdays.
Mm-hmm.
And we would sit when I was younger and watch X Factor and get a Chinese takeaway. Kind of sad that it got axed.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's the thing. Just like with some movies, they make it better overseas than they do here. And the same with The X Factor. You know, I mean, American Idol somehow worked, but The X Factor didn't, you know, in its current format. Mm-hmm. So, but I also think it's because it came around after all these shows were already going on, you know, like The Voice and all that. It's like, who can watch all these shows? You know, so
there's so many of them that are the same.
I know. And I don't think they differentiated themselves enough. So people will go, oh, look, this is a special show. We should watch it.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and I guess Simon Cowell by himself wasn't able to draw the crowd, you know, so it shows you have to be in the right setting.
Completely.
And the right situation, you know, just like with some actors, you know, big stars, and they just. Some films, they just flop, you know. So it shows you that, you know, a good actor cannot necessarily carry a film.
Mm-mm.
And, I mean, just look at these, the last couple of Tom Cruise films, you know, like Jack Reacher and that, you know, and that that space movie, that science fiction movie, didn't do well at all. And that's Tom Cruise, you know.
Yeah.
So,
exactly.
Yeah, so
one person can't carry the whole thing.
Yeah, exactly, you know. So I guess this weekend, 300 Rise of the Empire took number one.
Yeah.
Did you see the original one?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, I didn't either. And
it took like, what, $45 million?
Oh, yeah, $45 million dollars, yeah. Yeah.
A lot of money.
Yeah. No, definitely not billion. But $45 million is a lot of money, you know. And then number two is kind of a curious movie, Mr. Peabody and Sherman. You know, I think I'm even too old to know what, or too young to know what the hell that is, you know. And it's about some characters, I think, from back in the, I don't know, 60s, 50s or something. They were like popular, this dog or something, a cartoon, you know. But, but at least it took number two, which many people didn't think it would.
Yeah.
You know, but that's funny. Yeah. So anyway, that's the show for today. There's still a lot to talk about, actually, but we're out of time. We still have to get some guests for this week. This week is empty. I don't know what happened. People stopped contacting us or something, you know, a drought of guests. But we'll scramble some and we'll have fun. But even without guests, it's fun, right?
Mm-hmm.
As long as you enjoy your co-host, that's all that matters. All right. Well, have a good day, Charlotte.
Thank you. You too.
I hope your burn goes away and it turns into a tan.
Me too.
Yeah. And thanks, everybody. We'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Charlotte, right here on LA Talk Radio.